Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris Yano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, and I do not have a co-host today. No Tal Palmhouse, no Jeff hanging out, but I do have four buddies in the studio today. Four. Only three on the mic. One's silent, and we'll just leave it at that. But we have three guests on the show today. We're super excited because this
will be a little bit different of an episode. And I know we say that often. Actually, Paul says it more than I do. But it is a little bit different because, as we know, like the whole M&A world in 2020 was crazy. 2021. And we've seen a lot of different looks at different deal structures and stuff like that. And this is one that was unique that came up and I thought worth talking about. And thankfully, the gentlemen are right here in my backyard. So I want to give a quick introduction to Mr. Brian Cohn. Welcome back, my man, to the show.
Thank you again,
SF&P. SF&P. We also have Kevin Howard from Howard Air joining us back on the show. Kev, welcome back in.
Yep, thank you.
But now we also got Mr. Mike Crossenhouse from Scottsdale Air. Can anybody guess where he's based out of? Scottsdale Air. And we go way back.
Yeah, we do.
Go way back. It's cool. So, I'm glad to have you guys on the show today. And it's been cool to kind of hear how your guys' whole deal had come together. And I'm excited for our listeners to hear it. But before we jump into all that, I want to have a little fun. It's holiday season. Mm-hmm. It's the holiday season. And so I felt like, maybe I could throw out a couple holiday jokes. You guys cool with that? I know that Kevin, being the engineer brain, he's not going to laugh at any of my jokes. But maybe you guys will at least indulge me and laugh, even if it's not funny.
Kevin will laugh later.
Kevin will laugh later. He'll laugh when he's
sympathy,
speaking.
Sympathy laughs. Yeah. Sympathy laughs, worst case.
Yeah. I'm going to share a couple holiday jokes. Ryan, you ready? All right, buddy. All right, here we go. This is all in the setup, by the way, so I'm not a comedian. I know this might. Okay. How do you wash your hands over the holiday?
So I have more than one hand.
How do you wash your hands over the holidays? With sanitizer.
Oh, good.
See what I did there?
That's
see
a great
there?
One.
That was see good. There? I like sanitizer. That. Okay. That was a starter.
It only gets better for
Hey, me. Why is Santa afraid of getting stuck in a chimney? He has claustrophobia.
That was terrible.
Yeah, that was not funny.
These are like the dad jokes. Hey, we gotta do another dad joke thing at Rhino and get it set up. It would have been good to do holiday stuff. Okay. What do you call a kid who doesn't believe in Santa? What do you think, Mike?
Jeez, I don't know.
He's a rebel without a clause. Do you guys even know what Santa Claus, what his nationality is? It's North Polish. Is it now that? Wah, wah. Do we have that? No, okay. We don't have all that in there. That'd be good. Two more. You guys ready?
Yep.
How much did Santa pay for his sleigh? I would have thought it was just, it was made, like they made it.
He made it in the workshop. Yeah, Everybody knows that.
Because he makes all the toys.
He didn't pay anything.
They're craftsmen.
Yeah.
Nothing. It was on the house.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Okay, last one. You guys ready? This is going to be the best one.
Always is.
Oh, shit. Actually, I lied. I got two more. If Santa and Mrs. Claus had a baby, what would he be?
A misfit.
That's good. Not the correct answer, but that's good.
Yeah.
If Santa and Mrs. Claus had a baby, what would he be? A subordinate clause. Yeah, that was a... Okay, last one. This is going to be good. What do you call a bunch of chess players bragging about their games in a hotel lobby? That's kind of a long one. I'm going to read that again for my other ADHD folk. What do you call a bunch of chess players bragging about their games in a hotel lobby?
Chestnuts.
You're going down the right path.
Ooh.
Chestnuts boasting in an open foyer. Okay, moving on. Thanks for listening.
I'm glad we got past that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Next time, you know, you can read the questions or the you know, the jokes. Those are like the jokes you see on the Laffy Taffy wrappers. Remember that? See my note. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I was reading some of those to my daughter the other day, too, and she didn't think they were funny either. I think they're funny. Dad jokes are great. We're going to go ahead and get into this because we have a ton of stuff to cover today. Appreciate you guys indulging in my holiday jokes. Thank you very much.
Good laughs.
Yeah, there we go. It's good. Happy holidays to everybody listening. Like, it's a time of year. This is my favorite time of year.
It's too hot for the holidays here.
Well, it's gotta cool off. You can't, when you're an HVAC guy, can you really say that? Is it really that?
Yes, I'm ready for the cold weather.
You are. Yes.
I want to wear a jacket.
Let's go ahead and get to our 3 weeks of furnace business.
That's right.
Let's get started. Yeah. All right, so let's do this, guys. So just for introductions for all of our guests, too, go ahead and just share a little bit about each of your companies, quick high-level stuff, and then we'll jump right into how you guys were able to structure this your guys' deal and go from there. So, BC, let's go ahead and start with you.
Sure. Brian Cohen, SF&P Advisors. We are a CPA firm that represents sellers in their transactions with private equity. I think we'll surpass 325 transactions this year.
That was a great elevator pitch. Can you guys see him in a networking meeting standing up from his chair and saying,
"Hi, I'm Brian.
Hi, I'm Brian Cohen. I'm SF&P Advisors, and I like long walks on the beach." And
that is amazing.
Holy shit.
Thank you.
Man. Congratulations.
That's crazy. The guys have been working their asses
almost off. One a day. Unreal.
No, not for the year. This is going over the history of the company.
Got
20
it.
Years.
Oh, see, there clarify her.
Well, I appreciate that.
You could retire after 1 year. Jesus. So how many years?
Fred's been at this 20-plus years. SF&P, I think we're in our 20th year right now.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just gotten crazier the last couple of years. We've been talking about this nonstop. You guys know this already, too. So
yeah, it's great. I'm excited to get into that, into the future of, like, what's 2022 look like and all that type of stuff, too. And then, I mean, again, this whole, I think the first time we met and actually talked about this was probably a few months ago, maybe, when we went to dinner. All of us.
It was like a year ago.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
I thought it was March.
Okay. And then it was another that seems March. Like a year ago. Anyhow.
A lifetime ago.
Whatever. It seemed like it was a while ago.
It's been a couple years.
Mike, go ahead and let the listeners know who Mike Cross is, why he's in the house.
I'm Mike Cross from Scottsdale Air Heating and Cooling. I have a relatively small business. We're a high-performing company. Kind of stay in Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. We kind of stay in our lane over there. So I'm here because I partnered with Service Champions. I did that simultaneously with Kevin. And it's been a pretty interesting little
whirlwind.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to dig into it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would say you found a pretty solid partner.
No question about it. I got the best partner.
Yeah, man. Leland. That whole service, Frank, the whole Service Champions team. There's a lot of great guys in there, a lot of my friends, which is pretty cool.
Sometimes and I got to tell you, partnering with Kevin, too, was a great thing for me.
Yeah, you don't have to kiss his ass. He's considering
it.
I'm not going to hurt you, Mike.
Thanks, but they're still going to be friends afterwards.
For reference, listeners, they're literally sitting right next to each other, and they're holding hands. It's weird.
Oh, God, I knew it.
It's going to come out eventually.
Because Chris won't buy another mic. Yeah.
Cheap ass.
It's all right.
All right, Kev, you're up.
Kevin Howard, I'm still president of Howard Air. They haven't fired me yet. We're roughly around 100 employees. We started in 77, so next year will be our 45th year, and I started with my dad at when he started in 1977. So it's been a journey, and still plan on hanging in there for a few more years just because the merger is going to bring a lot more excitement. And again, it was a point in my life where it was time to do something new and exciting. I was getting a little bit bored, so it's fun to actually, after 45 years, to be more of an owner now. So. Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you guys. First off, fantastic. I mean, it's got to feel so good, to have gotten that finish line, and then sure makes what's next a little bit easier. Feel a little bit more comfortable. You know what's interesting about both you guys too is that, and we were looking for it on the way home last night because we all were at dinner. is you both have utilized the showrooms. Yours, obviously, I've been to Kevin's, and it's absolutely gorgeous, which, by the way, we talked about this yesterday. For the new Rhino office, the same guy that designed or did the all the design stuff on Howard Air is doing Rhino. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Yeah. but utilize that. I hate to even call it a showroom because it's like so much. It feels like it's so much more than that. You use it for so much more. We talked about it on Kevin's episode.
Training.
So if you want to hear more about that, you just go look up Kevin Howard's episode and you'll hear about it. It's incredible. But you guys both have them.
Right.
And when we were driving home last night, we went up. We were heading north, so we thought we were going to drive by your showroom, but you must be.
We're south.
You're south? Okay, so we're going the opposite direction. Yeah, that's why we didn't see anything.
We're south one block. We're literally one block south.
Okay. But we weren't going to go the opposite direction last night. We were going straight home. Matt thought we were going the opposite direction. So let's do this, Brian. Let's go ahead and start with because so much has happened this year. I'm talking like 2021 specifically. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and give just a quick recap on like what 2021 was like for you in your world? And then maybe what our contractors can expect or what the contractors or anybody listening can expect going into 2022. Cause it's not like, hey, let's rush and get these deals done in 2021 and then shit stops.
No,
ain't working like that. Uh-huh. And so, but it's also not going to be, I think, this crazy, like, oh my gosh, the capital gains and all this stuff. Like, do we really know? I don't know. I'm banking on you to share with us, like, what's 2022 going to look like? So, recap 2021. What can, if somebody's considering going down this path in 2022, what can they be on the lookout for?
Sure. So, I think in 21, the reason why so many deals got done, obviously, there was the rumor of capital gains tax. And, you know, Biden was talking about being at 40%, which would never get voted at 40%, but obviously was going to go up from where it currently was. Well, smart owners don't want to go ahead and pay that. I mean, listen, if you sold your business, for argument's sake, for $10 million, first 25% is going to get taxed at your normal ordinary income. The other 75% is going to get taxed at the whatever current capital gains tax rate is. Well, if that went up to 40%, you sell a $10 million business. I mean, you know, just making easy numbers, say about a $4 million. Yep. That is absolutely ridiculous. So all of a sudden, guys, obviously, that had these businesses for a while, multiples have been up. They said, hey, it's time to really go ahead and explore this. And these guys had their shit together, you know, so they moved, these guys obviously too, but they wanted to get deals done before that took effect. Nobody knew when it was going to take effect. They were all hoping it was going to happen sometime next year and not go retro. And yeah, a lot of deals got done. More so this year than, you know, from SF&P's perspective, we did more transactions this year than in any year going back over the last 20. So then he says, okay, well, what's next year going to look like? Well, this is going to continue. How far it continues into next year is really going to be determined about interest rates. So remember, when these deals happen, these private equity companies are borrowing money to get some of these deals done. Well, when interest rates go up, the purse strings start to tighten up a little bit. Multiples will plane out, if not, maybe take a step down. When that happens, I don't know. We'll see. We don't see it in the foreseeable future. We think next year is going to be damn busy too. So think about it, right? All these private equity guys, they're buying up these businesses. They're buying up EBIT or they're bringing these things together. And there have been some really big successful exits here over the last year and a half too.
Oh yeah.
So is it going to continue? Yeah. How long? Really until the interest rates change. This will all, by the way, M&A deals have been going on for a million years. Not with the volume, obviously, it happened in 21, and we think it's going to be this way again in 22, too.
You don't think that there's no way that this would be, like, they would make it retroactive, would you?
It's not out of the realm
of possibilities.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Right.
But if it's done already, you know, your deal's done, and you figure out ways to, you know, work around whatever the workarounds are.
Sure. Somebody asked me, I'm just going to ask you the way they asked me.
Sure.
This is kind of off script for a second.
How am I going
to
answer?
I don't know. So you might not be able to answer this. If you need to ask Kevin, you can ask Kevin.
I'll turn to the guys that are smarter than
me. Yeah, right? Here, boys. Somebody would said to me, hey, you know, I am considering wanting to find a partner in 2022. Does that mean that now all these private equity firms have basically like almost like my co-op funds where I've got a new chunk of funds I have to spend by the end of the year? Is it the same way with private equity where they have a set amount that they have to deploy that capital?
No. They, you know, they raise investor funds, right? Obviously, investors invest with them because of the prior history of what they've done with prior funds and what the returns are for them.
Sure.
This space has been incredible. Like I said, there's been a lot of really big exits here over the last year and a half, right? Private equity companies have sold their portfolio to another private equity right. company. They come in, they get all hot, bothered, and excited, and they continue to go ahead and purchase up businesses.
Thus creating generational wealth?
Yes, all over the place. The money is there, so they have to deploy the capital. They just want to deploy it intelligently. Think about the guys that own the, and run these private equity groups, right, or these companies. These are not dumb guys. These are Ivy League, bigwig,
right.
smart guys like that me. Are partnering with smart like guys, right? You bring right incredibly intelligent business owners that have been in the space for 30, 40 years, along with guys that understand how money works, and it gets really explosive real quick, right? Well, yep. There was a couple big monsters, you know, private equity flips this year, and there'll be more coming up over the next couple of years too. Ultimately, they want to get a return for their investor. They want to get in, bring these things together, bring the EBITDA number up, get in excess of multiples because they can, and everybody gets paid, and they go on to the next deal.
That's what the partners want too.
Right.
Like, that is the enticing part. Is,
correct.
Yeah, you got chips off the table.
Absolutely.
Around the keep going.
Plus, you know, listen, it takes the responsibility off of the owners, right? These two have built incredible businesses on their own blood, sweat, and tears. Ask them, is it a different deal now that you have a partner? Like, you don't wake up in the morning with the same stress saying, I have to make every decision for my business today. I have to be up all night. It's all on me 24/7.
Well, I can tell you, Brian, I'm working harder now than I did before.
but with a
partner. Re-energized,
right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
For sure.
And right, it's
fatter,
a different.
With the fatter bank account. But listen, like, you earned it.
Right.
You did it. Like, you put in the work. You're the one that stepped out and done it. You know, like, that's where it's okay to, you know, people, when you talk about making money, sometimes people be like, oh, it's all about making money. Well, guess what? I got into business to make money. I just went about it the way that I felt good about, with right. integrity and values.
Oh, absolutely.
And like that.
Yes.
And then to sell your business, good for you. You accomplished the goal. But it's not like it's like you did 100% and an exit and you're done. You're still going. So, right. you know, and this is what I've, again, is still a misconception from those who don't really understand. It's like, that's not how it works. I mean, you can sell and make yep. an exit. But, and so that is actually a great segue into the next question is, you know, what are the different types of deals, you know, that can be done? Like, obviously these guys come together for a deal, which is unique.
Very.
I mean, there's the, you know, you can roll equity. There's the 100% buyout. There's like, but what are like the different, just give a handful of what are like the different types of deals that you've seen done?
Sure. You sell out altogether, right?
100% done,
I'm out
the door.
The buyer is partnering with your management team. Everybody gets a bro hug, and you're out.
God, that seems crazy, doesn't it?
90 to 120
days. To be like...
It works. Every scenario is different. So think about this. It's based upon what the goals of the owner are, right? So here's somebody who's been at this for 30, 40 years, right? They're 60, 65 years old. They're done.
Yeah.
They don't want to be reinvigorated with a partner. Mm-hmm. They want to get paid. They want to go off to do whatever their next step is. Okay, so the owner's now going to partner with the management team. So that's one scenario on one end of the spectrum.
Right.
The other one is, hey, I'm going to partner, right? The owner of the business is going to partner with private equity. They're going to invest into that fund as well. And they're going to say, great, let's go see what it takes to get this to another level. The neat part about that is you're running your business from a different perspective at that point in time. I call playing from top down. Most owners are playing bottom up, right? Every day they're in, their hands are in the soil, motivating employees, working with their management teams. I'm generalizing. When you partner with private equity, you're now up at this place. The decisions are from a higher level. You're making a decision with a group of partners looking to move this forward to the sky's the limit because everybody's looking for what the next flip is going to wind up being.
So when that happens, do you typically see the ratio like a 70-30, a 75-25, an 80-20?
On the equity roll?
Yeah.
It gets negotiated. You know, most PE groups.
But I'm saying, is that like, is there a norm in there somewhere?
I would say 20%.
Yeah.
Pretty standard. But that can get negotiated up, and we have plenty of sellers that say, hey, we want to put more in.
Sure.
You know, but yeah. when they're dealing with the seller, excuse me, when they're dealing with the private equity company, they're going to see a pro forma, what this looks like, and there's questions that get asked.
Right.
How long are you guys going to be around for? Are we looking at a flip in 10 years, or are you looking to do something in the next 2 to 3? And some of those things become determining factors on who the seller wants to partner with. Right? Because the seller is controlling all this. These guys, during their process, were controlling everything. We introduced them to plenty of potential partners for them to make the decision that was going to work best for them based upon chemistry fit. We went through the process. One of the things Kevin and I talked about countless times was they wanted to, and Michael too, excuse me, they wanted to talk to enough people and get a full understanding of what was available, right? And for them, they chose the partner that worked best for them. Now, does that mean it's going to work best for everybody? No, but that's why you have all these conversations, that yes. chemistry fit. And we've talked about it before, and these guys will attest to it. That's really important. They loved who they were partnering with. They looked at the portfolio. They respected the people that were there. Obviously, in that portfolio, there were other groups here locally for them as well. They knew who the owners were. They saw one hell of a team that they were going to be able to put together here, and it worked out.
Yeah, because I understand. I know all parties involved. It made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And so, and joining an amazing family with a bunch of great leaders in it is pretty awesome.
Yeah, sure.
It is.
But you guys had to, both you and Mike and Kevin had to agree. Like, it's not like one or the other was like, yeah, this guy's good, this guy's not. You had to come together and agree on, like, two cooks in the kitchen, man.
So that's where it gets interesting, right? Either one of these guys have made enough business decisions on their own to be able to figure out what's best for them. Now you bring them both together. Now they have to be communicating, right? Like any relationship, communication is key. These two have known each other for how many years?
That's 30 years.
Feels like 40. Yeah. No, it's been 40. We were young.
We were kids. Yeah, we were kids.
Yeah. So they've grown up in the community together.
Right. We were in our 20s when we met.
Yeah. But think about this. They've known each other for decades. They've been in business in markets that don't really cross over, but adjacent markets, not really competing with each other, but friends enough that they run their chart of account. Everything they do is very similar. That's one of the reasons why this deal was able to work out, is because they both could do the dance together. And that is a rarity. It doesn't usually work like that. They both had the ability to go ahead and really, the communication, I'm going to beat on it 10 more times, but their ability to communicate is the reason why this was really able to get done. Because everybody says they want to do this. Hey, I got a couple buddies. Let's get together. If we combine all our EBITDA, we'll be seen at a whole different type of company. It's a rarity because not everybody can move at the same speed. So when we all sat down initially, one of the big conversations we had was, okay, we're going to put deadlines in place and you both have to meet them at the same time, right? So by this Friday, we need this amount of information in. And as that Friday would approach, they'd be talking back and forth. And there were times where they both didn't have it together, but hey, they both said, hey, we're not going to have it together on this Friday. Okay, we just move it off one Friday. At least we're communicating and making it happen moving forward.
I got a question. Yep. I interrupt you.
Okay.
Is this type of offer very appealing to the private equity partners?
Absolutely.
Okay, so is it because they can look at it from a couple different ways? Like one, it's more share. If they're in the same market, it's more share or whatever. Actually, even if you're not in the market, it's more share. But it's also more leadership. Because I guess for them, it'd be no different than doing two separate, is there something there?
Listen, they want size and scale.
Is anyone hesitant because of it?
The only hesitation is everything gets doubled. So it's double the due diligence. So they didn't do one due diligence. It was two just going on simultaneously.
Yeah, but they have teams that are doing those things most time anyway, right?
They do, but you're trying to get two deals done basically at the same time.
That's right, because you still got to take both.
Yeah, everything.
You're right. Got it.
While they run everything very similarly, right? Very similar. It's still two different companies. So there are two different diligence tracks that have to get moving forward, and we would be all on these calls together. Now tomorrow, where are we? Okay, great. We're all making sure we're at the same step.
Yeah. And this worked out really great because these are two really reputable companies too. And so I guess the like-mindedness is certainly helpful, and the exit strategy must've been similar as well. So it's like an ideal scenario, but what you're saying is most of the time it doesn't pan out.
No.
But it's an option.
It is.
It's an option.
So I'll give you a quick example. We had a conversation. There were, five guys that wanted to come together years and years ago. And
five different companies?
Yeah. They all knew each other. Same type of thing, right? Hey, we all want to come together. We want to make a transaction happen. Okay, great. We need to get this by a certain date. One out of five got us the information. Okay, so now all of a sudden we're going to
play. Oh, you mean getting the financials, getting like, yeah.
Whatever gotcha. Step one of information yeah, we needed gotcha. In one uh-huh. out of five. And now we're calling on the other guys, and now we're calling the one that got the information and saying, hey, can you call your buddies? Can you call? Can you make this? It becomes like a babysitting situation when they all can't move at the same speed together.
Got it.
Got
it. So is there anything else besides that, like any other sort of deal, or is that kind of the three, those are the three, like?
I mean, there's plenty. I mean, listen, there's
but that's, stock, I'm saying those
deals,
are the
assets, deals. There's a lot within the deal. There's got a lot it. Depending on everybody's set up.
Got it.
But for the most part, they're very similar, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, myself included, I really had to I've learned so much from the podcast over the last 2 years on just, like you guys coming on, or even like Leland coming in, or Goodrich or Haynes, or any of the guys that came in that I've learned from.
Sure.
And understood that sometimes it's hard to even know how you maintain ownership and what does that really mean, and I used air quotes, in the business, like, how do I even create a partnership? What does doing a 80-20 really mean? I'm rolling 20%, but what does that actually mean?
Right.
People think like, you the deal's done and you move on. That's not how it works. I mean, if you're staying put, it's not how it works.
It could be.
But there could be some change.
Yep.
But it's certainly not instant. There's still like that 90-day phase of just kind of learning the...
Most buyers come in, they don't want to make any change. You've got a great business. They turn around and they say, hey, show us a whole lot of things that are going on so we can take a look at them. Because if you're doing them better than we're doing within the portfolio, we want to take your best practices in that area
and bring
it
to the
network.
Bigger, better, stronger
together.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. The deal really, Chris, is the deal that you make with them, right? That's all negotiated.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into that then, too. You, Mike, and Kevin, is let's talk about, you know, the process for you guys, you know, because of the uniqueness of this being like, you know, not a normal deal, certainly worked out well for you guys. Let's talk about that. So what was the process like for you guys with this whole deal? Like you can do one or the other, play out whichever whoever wants to go first.
Right. Not exactly sure where you want me to start. The process is Kevin and I were just talking. Actually, we started talking about kind of a crazy customer that we're both interacting with at the same time.
Wait, those exist.
Anyway, that's kind of how this got started. And Kevin said, well, what are you doing with your business? Because we can fix this, but let's talk about this. And so like 2 days later, I'm with Kevin and Brian and a couple other guys, and we're talking about putting together this partnership.
Yeah, that's the only reason you're with Brian. In the if Brian Cohen's in the mix, well, it's because that's part of the conversation somewhere.
Or steak dinner.
Or steak dinner.
Yeah, several steak dinners. And I'd already been kind of looking, and I talked to a couple different private equity guys, and I had a couple of LOIs on some offers, and it was just really just like, wow. And it just wasn't.
And you were being solicited those.
Oh,
probably
yeah.
Plenty,
every
right?
Day. Yeah. Every day you'd get an email from somebody that said, hey, I want to buy your business,
yep.
Blah, blah, blah. And so I talked to a couple of them, and it was just wasn't there for me at all. So anyway, so through some other people, turns out that everyone says Brian's the guy you need to talk to. And so I already had Brian's number in my phone from somebody else, and Kevin calls me and says, we need to talk to this guy. So I'm like, wow, he must be the guy. And so that's kind of how we got started with it. And then Brian kind of laid out the ground rules, kind of what he just said. You guys got to be together. You got to have your shit done. You got to – and that's how we started.
In a nice way, by the way. It's not disrespectful.
No, you didn't. No, you said
but it. Just sit down. You said
in a nice, firm like way.
You got to get to know Brian. That's exactly what he said. Get your shit together.
It pretty much came out just like that.
Just like that.
No, he did say.
We're not sugarcoating it.
No, he did say this. Yeah. He goes, this is going to be a tough deal. It's, you know – and they're all betting it probably wouldn't happen, but we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it goes way back before then. I mean, you remember all the BDR classes, you know. I mean, we went to, you know, preparing because, you know, our exit strategy, right? And, in fact, Mike, God, what was it, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, why don't you just buy me, right? Remember? Right? I couldn't afford it. So it's a journey. But and as we spoke back and forth, we were both going to go to market. So why not do the brain damage together, right? Because it is a lot of preparation. And until you go through this, you are clueless on what it takes to get your business to market.
Yeah, and you have to have, like, when somebody's interested, if it takes too long, it shows a discrepancy or a potential discrepancy or, like, the perception of, like, maybe they don't have their finances together because is there now a trust problem. So if somebody asks, you got to have your finances up to date.
I couldn't imagine going through this if you didn't have all your shit together.
Yeah.
You just couldn't.
But it certainly happens.
But if you know it's going to happen, then you prepare for it. Listen, once it's your race, you're the one that shoots the starting gun. Mm-hmm. When you shoot the gun, you got to be prepared to be able to answer any question that comes in a timely fashion. Right. Now, what's the answer time? A day, 2 days, right? If you can't get it done, there has to be a legitimate reason why you can't get a question answered, but you shoot the gun. So if you know it's going to be your race, then why don't you get everything prepared ahead of time? That's why people call you a year out. Hey, let's talk about what this looks like. Great, let's get all your shit together, and therefore when we shoot the gun, we're running the race right along with you. It's just going to be easier.
Got
you know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Kev, so
but anyway, real quick on that is, I mean, just a shout out with BDR. We're both BDR, mm-hmm. right? And oh God, we were thanking them over and over because they trained us, right, to get our proper financials, right?
Right.
I mean, God, if we never joined up, the deal would still not be done. So it it paid dividends.
This podcast is not sponsored by I'm just kidding.
Gotta give credit where credit's due, right?
For sure. And that actually is a really great call out, because you don't have to know everything. That's why these things exist, is to help you understand things and to get peer groups and stuff like this. And thankfully, you guys both being local and both being friends and understanding our market and all these things, factors came into play, but you also were like-minded enough and your exit strategy clearly was similar. So it worked. But what was the process like for you, Kevin? Because I know you got the engineer brain. You know, and obviously, like, you designed the whole.
Poor Brian.
I can only imagine. Oh, actually, I'm actually really grateful to the hell you probably put Brian going through. It makes me feel so good inside that he had to go through that. Sorry, Brian.
When the deal got done, he's like, "I'm so happy." I said, "I am too." He said, "Why are you so happy?" I said, "You're not going to call me tomorrow at 5:30."
Well, see, look at for me. See, I got the ride on those coattails through this whole thing. Kevin asked all the questions, did all the
perfect.
Yeah, and I just and he'd call me every morning right after he talked to Brian.
That sounds perfect. Well, so then like explain the process for you, Kevin, because I'm sure you probably overanalyzed a lot of stuff too. But like what was it like for you? Obviously I've known you and Julie for about the same amount of time. I think I met you, Mike, similar. This is about, I can't remember, 15, 14, maybe not quite that long ago. Maybe 10 or 12 years ago. I forget when it was.
I brought Mike to the table when you were started.
Yeah, you did. That's right. Yeah.
Jesus, it seems like yesterday. I don't know. Anyway, the delusional thought was, you know, being engineer-minded is, and again, going through all the classes of setting up a sales exit strategy, right, for retiring, figured, well, here's all the financials. It's a commodity business, right? You sell it. That was a delusional. That is an absolute delusional thought. You cannot sell your business on your own. And the other thing, too, what took place, you know, just is, literally over 100 inquiries to where it was becoming disruptive to the business. I mean, it was 4 and 5 inquiries a day, and people get your cell phone. And
from potential buyers.
For potential buyers' equity and all over the spectrum, and it's a completely different language too. I mean, you think about it. We run an HVAC business, right? We don't sell businesses every day. So, you know, as you go through it, you get schooled. You start to understand the lingo, but then it quickly realized that you needed a broker. So then it was research on what brokerage firm.
But that's an important part of the story too, right? Though, Kevin, because you have to at least go in and start to at least understand like what is the process. So if you're getting somebody reaching out, like something that, because it happens to me all the time, I just wanted to understand, like, okay, let me connect with this person and find out, like, what are they going to ask me? Once I started to understand the process, I knew why they were asking me the questions. But you kind of got to go through that.
You got to go through the pain,
right? See, that's why I entertained my first LOIs. I wanted to talk to those guys. I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn how this was done. And I would tell them, I said, I want to know how this is done. I want to know this process. But man, they were grinding me hard. I mean, they would hand me a contract and a pen at the same time and push hard 3 copies, whole deal.
Here you go. Here's your 3x EBITDA.
And I was like, why? How did you get here in 24 hours from New York with the checkbook in your back pocket?
But anyway,
sorry,
going through and finding the right, and then, you know, luckily through research and, you know, I don't know, when you go through this, you know, I just believe in a greater force, right?
Yep.
Things align. My father-in-law actually used to work for Price Waterhouse, and Fred works for Price Cooper. I did some research. Fred has an unbelievable reputation, and then we chose, you know, SFMP, and grateful we did. They you know, not to plug it, but they pay for themselves, you know, a decent, you know, it's like a good CPA in right, in life and business, you know, the competency level, they pay for themselves. So, yeah, I could not, I mean, right, Mike, go through this
There's no question. Well, I can tell you guys from my first LOIs to the end, there's 2.5x difference.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so.
That pays for yourself.
So,
right?
A little bit.
Yeah. And we still talk to them afterwards, so that's a good thing, even better. Yeah.
I mean, we're in here doing this together. They want to talk about
it on air. Not at 5:30 in the morning anymore.
Not at 5:30 in the morning.
The conversations are much more enjoyable now.
Yeah. So if you're listening, see, listen, that was a great plug for SF&P, which is perfect.
Yes,
so, hey, listen, if you...
Hey, it was 5:30 my time. He's in Florida. Let's get this...
No, no, right. I understand.
I was in California for one part of the summer that...
I did. You're all over the place.
If you're listening and you're considering and you want to go to SF&P or take into consideration, all you got to do is say, hey, I heard these guys talking on To The Point podcast, and I'm interested, Brian. Make sure you drop that To The Point name.
Yes.
That means Brian's going to take extra good care of you. Just make sure you say that. Oh, all I right. love the Kevin Howard and Mike Cross episode. Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, thanks for sharing that, too. I want to believe, I mean, I'm 42, so get older. My family, you guys all know me well to know. I'm a big family man. I do not give on that balance. I work a ton of hours. Like when people go on vacation, you know, employees, they get to go on vacation. I don't really get to go on vacation. You guys know the drill. But it matters, you know, it matters to me to make sure I can take care of my family. I do work to live. You know, I don't necessarily live to work, even though I enjoy this. This isn't like a job for me. I know that's unique to me because it's my business. It's my baby. And I look at it kind of like you in the sense of, you know, I believe this is a platform I've been given to serve the masses, and right. And I do not want to mess that up. Along the way, though, I'm trying to create some wealth and trying to create opportunity, not just for the employees, but for obviously our customers and in my own family, you know, opportunity and just different things. So I work really hard because I'm motivated by more than just, you know, money. Money should follow the purpose. And so to me, when you get to the end of the road, whatever that might be, whatever your exit strategy is, it might be money to some. That's fine. I'm not judging anybody. It's just that I have to believe that if you roll equity, it's because you believe, like, I just took care financially. I'm good. I'm good. I got my kids. I feel like I'm really good. But you still got that fight in you as we have as entrepreneurs that you want to keep going.
Go away.
You want to keep going. I don't know that I'm ever going to get rid of that.
No.
And I don't know that I want to get rid of it.
No. That's what Mike and I were talking about is, now the opportunity and the doors have opened up more than you could ever imagine, right?
It's a different game.
To accelerate the growth of the company and provide for your employees that got you to this point. And Chris, you're so right. With the rollover, the whole thing is now the managers that have believed in our vision, right, they can become to a financial wealth as well.
Yeah.
So it is just a win-win-win.
Absolutely.
You know? So
think about all the opportunity. This is how I look at things. You know, maybe cheesy or not, doesn't matter. The way I look at things is I do take business very personal. I've heard that's a huge mistake. I don't care. I take it very personal. I take it personal because
you'll grow out of that. Well,
and maybe I will. Maybe I will. But now hear me out. Yeah. Think about the volume of lives that I can directly impact. Like actual livelihoods I can directly impact with my type of business as a digital marketing agency for the trades and all the employees within that agent, within that contractor. Or that company, not to mention my own 130 plus rhinos. Like, that's a lot of people that I impact. I take that on because I want to take it on. I believe in myself, believe in the team. But I heard who was it on the podcast that said it was James Lawrence, Iron Cowboys dude, that's like run like 101 full distance triathlons and 101 consecutive days.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's a mindset I was trying to get from him on the podcast. It airs I think on our 100th episode, but. He said he didn't quit because he felt like if he didn't do one more day, that was another group of people that he might let down. I get that feeling a lot because I feel this like really big responsibility to keep going and just keep doing more and keep trying. But you get to create additional wealth for those who helped you get there. Like, that's a great feeling. I get goosebumps talking about
it. No, it's a great feeling. Yeah. And it's so important.
And that's got to be part of the whole thing, right? Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be, but certainly it would make you feel good because it's, you know, like there's no way I could be like, all right, sweet, thank you, you know. Sorry, guys, here's a nice
Most deals.
It's karma, too.
There's ways
the key leadership,
that can be taken care of, certainly. And most owners do it. It happened, believe it or not, sometimes it's a really big reason why these owners do transactions. You know, we did a deal not too long ago, real quick, and they had employees that had been with them decades. Well, you're my friend now. I'm the owner. You're the employee. When we sit down, you realize no matter what I give you, you're never going to see it as enough, and I'm always thinking it's too much. So bring in the partner, right, the private equity group that says, let's structure this so that everybody's happy, right? The owner selling, they're going to get their piece. The employee that's going to continue to stay on and row the boat in the same direction and keep working hard, they're going to be incentivized properly. There's professionals that put that together, so it takes the emotional stuff out of play.
That's great.
You know,
yeah, that's the, and that's again the benefit of actually hiring somebody to represent you is the, a
oh,
lot
to
of
get
these
those
factors.
Things. Yeah, they wanted well, the, they wanted that stuff to be taken care of.
Of course,
right. When we sit and talk with the owners, what's most important? What's secondary? How's this all play out? Great. We make sure that we find the right partner that's going to be able to cover all those things that you want to have done.
Bingo.
Right. Right. My management team are all partners in Service Champions as well. And that's a big deal because it makes my life better too, because we're all on the same page now. We all have exactly the same goals.
Are they all service champions?
Of course.
Kevin is not impressed. Yeah, Joe. No, it makes total sense.
Hey, to the
I, I got to keep trying. My daughter would be so embarrassed right now. So I want to go back to something, because you had said you guys had, had got together, and when this whole conversation like first started, like that process first started, when was that? Any idea on the like the year that conversation started? Was this like 19, 18, 20, 17?
The exit strategy. It, well, again,
maybe, maybe
when
the
you're
most
in business,
recent one.
In business, you you know there's always going to be an exit strategy. That's what you're, right? There's going to be a day you punch out. Right.
And that's so, the, that's the point I'm actually getting at is when was that point when you guys were like, yep, now's the time. And I know I said this before the podcast, the typical answer right now would be like, well, because now's the right time. Just, it's like when stock, you know, the stock's going to be at its highest. You want to sell the stock.
Yeah, but it was, house it was, had to be it was, it was earlier in the year. It was the first quarter of this year when, again, when you looked at all the, what was coming down the pike, right. Next year with taxes and, you know, it ironically, I wasn't ready, right? When I was going through, I had just, you know, built that building, right? We wanted to get, you know, we wanted to get this thing, you know, upwards of, you know, 40, 50 million. That's what the infrastructure for. I was not ready to sell. But, you know, things change. The government, right? So, you know, so it, but here's the thing is, selling later, sure, we could, you know, have the higher EBITDA, but I'm going to pay out more in taxes. So with the rollover
Wait,
and selling
the
now,
assumption the multiples will still be there
exactly.
a couple of years down the road.
So
Kevin had the ability to achieve his goals, right? Think about it.
Yeah.
Without all the pressure of him having to go ahead and work a million hours a day to get that business to where it is.
Right.
To this 40 or 50 million
right.
dollar number.
You right. know? Yeah, sure.
Right. So now what's nice is with this partnership, you know, it'll help accelerate the growth.
Yep.
We'll achieve it much, much quicker than we would have on our own.
Yeah, with a lot
better
more
for the
right
employees line. And we're near the exhaustion again, because really, if you think about it, you know, should already be there. Well, with Service Champions and Odyssey's backing, right? You know, they're oh my gosh, I don't even know what they're going to finish this year, but crazy. It's astronomical.
Yeah.
Right?
Mike, how about you?
Gosh, I've been thinking about this for, I don't know, a couple of years. You see what's going on locally, all the different businesses that are partnering with different groups, and, you know, all the chess pieces are moving around. And I was kind of just sitting back and watching, and I really wasn't ready either. And I kind of thought that I would just sit and watch and wait for a while. And then, once you start talking to different buyers, you think, okay, well, wow.
It gets a little exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it starts to get exciting, and then you start to talk to your wife, and she's like, okay, I'm ready for the RV. Let's do this.
That's an RV. There's an RV, Clark.
Yeah, exactly. And so, once you start. And then we met Brian, and then things got really real, real fast. And so that was kind of my process. I wasn't really planning at the time. I was building a new building at the time. I had stuff all over the place. And so, anyway, we just did it.
So you guys chose, it's actually kind of ironic, you guys are both doing the same, we're both doing the same thing, even with the buildings.
Yeah.
You guys, obviously you partnered with Leland Smith Service Champions, Odyssey, that group, phenomenal group, know them well. You know, that's a lot of bright minds. I mean, I would say arguably one of the best financial minds in Leland Smith. But you have a lot of great, there's a lot of great owners in the Service Champions family, like a lot of really bright people. And that's exciting. And so in addition to the multiples and obviously like being able to take some chips off the table and the money and secure like financial future and stuff like that, What was important to you guys in finding the right partner? Because there's a lot of service champion type of, you know, businesses out there too. What was important to you guys in finding the right partner?
Yeah, for me and Kevin as well, we need to maintain the integrity of our businesses. I mean, we've grown our businesses by doing the right thing, treating our people right, taking care of our customers, and we felt Service Champions kind of shared those values with us. And the other thing that Service Champions brought to the table is they have labor resources, training resources, marketing resources, and just being part of a bigger family. That was for me.
Yeah.
And also to the chemistry. When you meet with Frank and Leland, you I mean, they're great salespeople. You bond with them. You go, okay, I like these guys. and who wants to be a partner with somebody you don't like?
We talked
to people we didn't like. And it was horrible. But so that, you know, that was a big part of it for me.
The
efficacy of the company was important, but again, when you're wanting to grow, right, you can only grow as much as what you have in the bank. And again, with them, the acceleration, I mean, we already have trucks. They're improving the Howard Air Academy. It's all on the up and up. Kind of a loss of words because it's melancholy. It was so nice to find something that you want to become, right? You strive your entire life to become what they already are, and they are. They're letting us do our thing. It's like, look, you're already successful. You're already profitable. Keep doing it, mm-hmm. right? And then the team that we've joined here in Arizona, right? Premier Contractors, Sabikas, and ProSkill. So the four of us already is, you know, premium services in Arizona. It's nice to be a part of that and grow and build on that.
Dropped a couple of decent human beings in there.
Yeah.
You like the Hobica.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Ringies are, you know, friends of mine. Lou's been in here, too. I love Lou.
Just had dinner with on Wednesday.
Such a great guy. I love his car collection.
Yeah. Yeah. He's so funny. Bust my balls nonstop.
It's a great group, and it's going to grow. They're not going to quit with this four.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I love about Lou, I'll just talk about him for just a second, is that, dude, this guy's heart is gigantic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For giving back. Like, anybody mm-hmm. knows me well knows that I am, like, giving back is so extremely important to me. And so when I see, he invites me to things all the time. I always feel guilty because I can't go to his stuff. And he's always like, you talk about giving back. I'm like, I give back all the time. Yeah. I just can't make your events that you told me the day before it happened. Right. I get to your event. But you guys joined those things, and it's, you know, Leland Smith, just a boy from Kentucky. Just a boy from Kentucky. So let's segue into this next to last question, just for the sake of time, too. I think we're roughly 45, 50 minutes in, something like that. Time flies. Doesn't feel like it's been that long. This is a great conversation. But this does segue into, you know, what does this look like moving forward? Like, I've had the chance to talk with Travis and Tyler, you know, from ProSkill, and I'm kind of understand what business looks like for them, and a lot of more of the same, you know, type of stuff. And still, business is still growing, still thriving. ProSkill's been in my house. We were at dinner last night. They've been in my house so many times, and he's trying to push me to buy because I need two new air conditioning units. You guys, let me give you his bid so you can beat it. I need two. And so,
no, he's your boy.
I'm up on Anthony's there, but he's been there because, you know, during COVID a lot, which is what was really great for our business, is that my wife did a lot of remodeling, you know, redid the bathrooms, the kids' bathrooms. We added a bathroom in the house, like a lot of things. So ProSkill's at my house quite a bit. And then ironically, they noticed that, hey, I need a couple air conditioning units. No, I'm kidding. It's because we were having problems. They're older, like 2004 old York units, like some crazy like that.
You need new ones.
Yeah, for sure. If you go into the Howard Air facility, you'll see how quiet these new energy efficient. Right. But what, you know, what does it look like for you guys, you know, now? Is it still just pretty much more of the same? Are your roles the same? Like, what's changed since the transaction was complete and announced and diligence is over and you got paid, and now what?
Well, it's still the honeymoon period. They're leaving us alone. I mean, the transaction is what, 6 weeks old, 5 weeks?
Yeah. So that's like, what, roughly a 120-day dance, like honeymoon period?
Yeah. And we keep asking. It's like, hey, what's our guardrails? And again, they just like, look, you know, the reason that we merged and purchased you guys is that, you know, you're successful. So what the exciting part is, and next week we'll be over there learning more, and the whole group, there's 16 companies total, and all just first-rate companies. So what's exciting is, you know, is this learning curve. When Mike and I was going through who to merge with is we didn't want to be the platform, right? A lot of these companies wanted us to be the platform. It's like, you know, it is so nice to with these other companies that are larger to learn, right, and implement.
Yeah, we wanted to join. Forward. We wanted to join a platform,
right?
That's good. So that was exactly. Part of what was intriguing to you was not being the platform. So you right. could, and just real quick, explain the difference on the platform, so that way the listeners know what the hell you're talking about.
Typically, platform is the first company being purchased by private equity, their first partner, and they are going to go ahead and use you as the model.
It's the blueprint.
Right, as they start making acquisitions. So not only are you running your business, you're also working with your PE partner to go find additional
acquisitions.
And
what was important to these guys was to actually learn from somebody who, yeah, right. to learn new things, right.
Well, and we told them, it's like, geez, we want to get to $50 million and beyond, and if we already knew it, we'd be there. So really, it's flattering. It was nice. They wanted to feed on the ego, but, you know, that just wasn't in the cards for us.
If I could throw them a compliment.
Yeah.
What was great about obviously working with Kevin and Michael is they were not afraid to say, I don't know this, right? I've got big successful businesses, right? They've both been in the space for decades. We don't know this. Help us. What do you think about this? Humble enough to be able to ask the questions that were necessary so that they felt comfortable in being able to move forward. Mm. Listen, a lot of owners, right, it's big ego stuff.
Yeah.
You have 50 to 100 employees. You walk on water when you walk in your place. Everybody, you're the exalted one, and you're supposed to have all the answers. They understood as business owners that there were certain things they just didn't know, and they wanted to deal with an expert in order to be able to get those questions answered so they could move themselves, their businesses, and their people forward.
Yeah.
How many business owners have the ability to humble themselves and say, I don't know.
It's not many. So there's so much ego in this industry, but you hit on something in that, you know, and to an extent, I kind of understand, like I can understand. I've certainly been down that path before too. I got humbled real quick.
Yep.
Life lessons will do those things to you. Yeah. And I'm grateful. It was a lesson I needed to learn. And so I do believe though, and what I learned and I try and preach even to my own staff is that there's actually a lot of strength in vulnerability mm-hmm. when used the right way. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of strength in vulnerability and you can certainly move through things faster if you just say, you got it figured out better than me, like help me, or hey, I don't know how to do this, rather than trying to fake it.
This is how I feel. Is this right? Right? How
many exactly times? Right, yeah.
As we're getting closer to the being done, hey, is this normal? This is how I feel. This is what's going on. We've dealt with hundreds of these.
You know, well Mike and I have said back and forth, because he brought a lot to the table. What I didn't know, he knew, vice versa. I mean, we go back, it's like, holy crap, could you imagine going through this by yourself? Right? Really?
Oh, trying to
and dealing with Brian on your own, right? Right? At least we could gang up on him at times,
lots
right?
Lots of bottles of wine.
I would wake him up and Mike would put him to sleep. You didn't know that game plan, right?
Oh my God. But they knew, like I'd go for a walk at night, right? Just to declutter from the day. Yep. And it was almost like clockwork. I'd get 100 directs to my house, my phone, and I'm like, oh my God, Kevin, like clockwork. How are you, Kevin? What's going on? He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know what I'm doing, Kevin.
He's very structured.
Same thing every day.
Very structured. Guys, what's next? I want to ask this question. I know it's still early on. I don't know if you guys do this already. Like, I invest in different businesses and things like that, and I invest in the market and stuff like that. I have a few little companies here and there. I'm not like super involved in them, but I've invested in them and might help with the marketing and stuff like that. And it's kind of fun, like play stuff for me. Do you guys do anything like that, or is that in your agenda? Is it too soon to know? I mean, certainly you've probably thought through, like, you know what, I got a little bit of cash and now while I'm doing this, still kind of doing the daily grind, if you will. What else are you going to do? Is there any other businesses you're thinking of investing in, or maybe potentially, dare I say, starting, you know, down the road, or what is it? Anything else you guys are looking to do besides this, like in the future?
Well, absolutely.
I mean, I don't really know. I'm going to kind of play this out over the next few years and see where this goes, and I'll probably build some stuff. I'm a builder. I like to build. I'm good at it.
You know your way around an automobile.
I'll probably build houses just to get me out of the house, make a few bucks.
Real estate game.
Yeah. We're good at it. My wife's kind of a houseaholic. Mm-hmm. And so I'll do that, I'm sure, just because I'm going to have to do something. And my wife's already told me, you're not going to hang out with me all day.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So there's that. Kevin's like, Mike, why are you over here again?
That's fine. So yeah, for me, it's you know, because I had a business plan laid out, so it's you know, and we're on the upswing, so it's seeing the business to the end, and the day that I do hang up my hat, that all the managers and everything are set up for success, so the company can continue on successfully, and yeah, but I've got a lot of irons in the fire currently and moving forward. So obviously with the extra revenue, it'll help accelerate, get things to completion. But yeah, I'm like with Mike, you know, eventually I want to, you know, we're looking to get land somewhere up north and have a summer home. Right. So yeah.
Good for you.
Keep moving the ball forward.
You have, two kids, right?
Yeah. Two girls.
And
they're still in the business.
Okay. So that's what I was going to ask, is that the thing I've struggled with, I'm sure you guys have had the same thing happen. I've got four, you know, and
keep working.
Yeah. Three girls. Yeah, three girls
working.
And boy.
Keep working. They're expensive.
But it's, you know, Ian and I are, I feel like, well, she's, as you know, like far more intelligent than me, but she comes from a really solid financial background. Her dad, you know, is vice president of investments for Morgan Stanley, right. You know, like
wow.
Big time. So she got, I landed a lunker right from the beginning. May I knew what I had, but we've tried to not be, we want to make sure we give them, all the opportunity in the world, like mm-hmm. selfishly, because I, you know, grew up very, very, I don't want to say poor, cause I feel like it's like saying something negative about my mom. Cause it's not what it is. She worked three jobs and when I was fine, we just weren't like, I couldn't buy a pair of Reebok pumps. I had to get the Kmart special shoes. Mm-hmm. But so I feel like a part of me is I'm grateful I don't have to live that. You know, and we make sure our kids are humble. They give back quite a bit too. But I also just have this like vision in my head where I know one of them's got to have an entrepreneurial itch. One of them's got to have it. And I want them to have it. So I want to have like this little nest egg here that says, okay, sweet. If one of them wants to go down this path, I know I've got this to kind of be helpful with that. I mean, have you guys, did you take any of that into consideration? Or have you had,
yeah, it's amazing.
Every bit of it.
Yeah, it's amazing with my daughters. So I'm going through, like you said, have the business plan and direction I want to go. Oh, their acceleration on how they want to spend my money is unbelievable.
They've got a lot of ideas for it.
Yeah, my one daughter is very entrepreneur. I mean, grand scheme. She's like, hey, we can build. I'm like, holy crap, you know? Yeah. It's basically cleaned me out. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. At least you know if you got this. It's almost like, hey, this is the money I take and put in the stocks and I don't look at because if it goes away, I'm going to be fine. I almost got to treat that money like that's what it is. But it is like, it, I mean, think about it. It's part of our existence is trying to create opportunity for our immediate families as well. So there's, it feels good to know that you can put them in that position. The nice thing is that we have the experience to have to walk them down the path, maybe a little bit, you know, more efficient than what perhaps we did.
Absolutely. Our kids can start where we finished.
Yeah, that's great.
Real quick, it's not like all of a sudden they had nothing yesterday and now they've got these big bank accounts. They've been successful
right.
for decades.
Right.
Their families have been around it for decades. Yes, it's a windfall, obviously, in getting a deal done, but did anything change the next day? You still woke up
no.
in the same
No,
time.
In fact, it hasn't thing. Set in.
Right.
It hasn't set in.
No.
Like your kids may be goofing on you. Hey, Dad, we want to do that.
Yeah.
But the reality is, no, they still go to work at the same time.
Yeah.
Everything remains the same.
It's well, actually, I'm more rejuvenated. I am. I mean, because, again,
I'm just as cheap as I was before.
Yes, you are. Oh, my God. You and Julie. God, oh my, both Libras. They are. You know,
my wife is like, we can't just buy a chair.
And you're like, no, I'm going
to
build
That's
it.
That's why I relate to Shelly. Shelly and I are both Leos, and my wife and Mike are Libras. And again, why I have money is because of my wife.
Sure.
Money to me is only good for what it does for you, right?
It's a tool. There you go.
Yeah, right? But he is. It's like, Mike, it's okay. You can buy patio furniture. It's fine. Okay? You know?
I'm a Taurus.
He still negotiates. It's like, right? He still negotiates.
He actually said something really interesting to me one time. He said, I pay that much for something so I don't have to deal with anybody if there's a problem.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I like that.
Hey, I'll tell you what. As I've gotten older and obviously way busier, convenience matters.
Yes,
I'll pay for convenience. Yes. Yeah. I will pay for convenience. Yes. And I remember thinking, I'll never fly first class.
Mm.
I don't need first class. When you fly first class,
you don't go back.
And now I'm like, how the hell did I get put in the aisle in row 5? You know, and this sounds so silly. Like this sounds so like honestly, it kind of sounds petty, But we have so many damn points that it's like it's easy to get them anyway, like to get first class seats anyhow. But when you got a family of six,
it ain't cheap.
It ain't cheap.
I don't care what you make. It's not cheap to do it.
But my sanity has got to, like, it's got to be where I got it. You know, my youngest is six, so I've got from 6 to 21. So to me, that convenience matters. Hey, sit in your seat. There's only two of you.
So your 21-year-old appreciates the fact that there were days where we did not sit in first class.
She didn't get that same experience.
Is growing up saying, I've only sat in first class.
Yeah, what are we doing here? So bad. I shouldn't even have said that. Damn it. Hey, guys, listen.
Well, you can erase it.
Nah, we don't erase shit in here. We let it roll.
Let it roll, yeah. It's real.
Hey, I want to just say, one, I'm grateful that you guys took the time to come in here today. I'm grateful that Brian made it in. I'm kidding. Just giving her time. We were all at dinner last night. Had a good time hanging out.
You can't get rid of him.
But congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's exciting. It's exciting for you because I have known you guys so long to kind of see this thing come full circle for you. It's pretty cool, you know. And I played a very minor part in that, but the relationship was created. And it was just kind of cool to have, rekindled that. And then, right here at the tail end of this deal and onto your next phase of this. So I'm anxious to see what you guys do with it. It's cool for me to watch because I'm friends with so many of you guys and to hear the different things and to see the successes. And it's just part of the fun for me, mm-hmm. you know. And I get jealous. And I'm like, I want to get involved with it, you know. Like, Leland, come on, man. I'm your digital marketing company. Bring me in. And he's like, talk to Ken Goodridge. No, kidding. But I'm super grateful you guys came in here. And from the bottom of my heart, I'm really happy for you guys. I'm glad you got it done. Good for you. Two great human beings, great businesses. And then BC, obviously, a lot of people are we're giving you a lot of praise for helping them. Like, we were sitting at a table full of people who you've helped, you know, made them very wealthy, you know, and brought together really great deals. And that's the book. Like, that's the end of the book, right, is that cool little story at the end that says, we got it done. You know, you guys will know, like, I've, from my crazy life, I'm all about experiences from my wrestling and college athletes, college athlete to professional bull riding for 2 years to IndyCar driving. I was able to do all these really cool things, but never felt like I quite got to the finish line of where I wanted to be with it. Like, I wanted to race the Indianapolis 500. I got the test at the 500. Didn't get to run the race. So, yeah, I raced around the track, but I didn't get to actually run the race. This is it for me. Like, this is what my bigger purpose has been. And it's always been, once I realized it, this one I'll get across the finish line. It just looks a little different for me. It's just, I have this pyramid scheme of giving back that means more to me than anything. And this is the platform I've got. So I'm going to run this thing as long as I can and build it and grow it and help. And I'll get to hear more success stories like this. But what's cool is the more I hear, the more I keep piling up, and I get to make so many cool connections with this guy who's struggling to you or to, you know, and everybody becomes so helpful. It's just been a fun ride. Like, the last few years have been really cool. You know, you guys, off camera, off mic, is Matt Evans, who's a customer of ours up in Sactown. And he's got a great business. You know, so just to sit at that table and hear everybody kind of giving you praise, man, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool. So, again, guys, congratulations, and I appreciate you guys coming on the show today.
You're welcome. Thanks. Glad to be here. Glad to give back.
And listeners, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm sure these guys would be happy to connect with you. And what we'll do is in the show notes, we'll share, if you guys are cool with it, we'll share just your email address. And then, of course, Brian will share your information too. If you reach out to Brian directly, if you have questions, he will walk you through it. Whether you're, if you think it's a stupid question, there's no stupid questions. Ask him. Like, the only way you're going to know is if you ask.
Correct.
But reach out to Brian, and he can at least walk you through if it is or isn't a good idea. Like, you know?
Yeah. It's not great for everybody.
Exactly.
Right.
So, but you don't know unless you ask and go through it. And then certainly you can reach out to one of the many SF&P, you know, customers to ask their opinion as well.
No, for sure. You need to know what's possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to know your options.
So. Yeah. It's a journey, right? And Brian, we thought he was full of, when he was telling us how bad it was, but he
you can
did.
Say it. Bullshit. You know,
the due diligence period and even Travis and everybody's like, oh, it can't be that bad. It's that bad. Yeah. They really turn you inside out. But it's good. You learn a lot. And that's what's exciting about being in business.
If it was easy, everybody would do it.
You got to go through it to get to it.
Yeah.
You got to go through it to get to it. The people at the top of the mountain didn't fall there.
Yes.
So, hey, climb, baby. Right. One real quick thing is I told Mike that you would take him out in your Maverick. And he's a professional driver, so you'll be a lot safer with him than me, Mike.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah. I'll take you out in my Can-Am, yeah, for sure. Let's go. I'll
show you. We got this on air now, Mike, so he can't back out. Right?
Yeah, sweet. You know, because I live up north, I can take the desert over to Lake Pleasant. That's a fun ride over there. Right. We can get after it. There's some sweet hills we can jump. Yeah, I'd love to do that. That'd be great. You can bring your stuff up. So, again, I appreciate you guys coming on here. BC, thanks for coming back in. I'm glad you're in town. Listeners, hope you guys have a happy holidays. You know, I'm excited.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy holidays.
You know, and I want to finish with a review like we normally do. And this one is from Josh Yeager. And he is BDK Garage Doors up in the Chi-Town Market. Rhino customer. Very cool. So, Josh, thanks for leaving this review. It says, real and relevant may cause growth in self and business expectations. Side effects include bigger wallet, improved spousal interactions, and less headaches. Highly recommended. That was very creative, Josh. I appreciate you, dude. Yes.
Now, you should have started with that. That's funny.
Pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. I'm so grateful. And obviously, you know, listeners, like that's one of the coolest things about doing this podcast is getting those reviews. And the same thing for our guests that are on is when you leave a review that that you've copied them in, we make sure that we send that over to them as well. So that way they understand that, you know, there was a lot of value taken away from this particular podcast and their story and what they've been through. So we appreciate that. And if you don't know how to do it, you can go into the app, scroll to the bottom, and it says leave a review. That's how you get it done. Regardless, we appreciate you listening. Have a happy holidays. Until next time, we'll see you. Welcome to the Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.